Blog Talk Radio. Thank you for joining us on the Wise Women Media Radio Show. That was Tedeschi Trucks Band with something off their new release. It is called, let me get the title here, Calling Out to You. This is the acoustic version. Beautiful, beautiful song. And we're kind of doing a free-for-all tonight. Lots of news, maybe a little bit of music. Announcements and anything else we want to talk about. If you would like to join us in the chat and ask questions or give us a call, you can do that at 213-816-0357 and check us out online at wisewomenmedia.blogspot.com. You'll see a list of our sponsors there and a GoFundMe link. So if you'd like to fund us and have interesting shows coming at you every week, hit us up at the GoFundMe link, and no amount is too small. So Gwen, you're on the line with me, and give us a heads up on what's happening on your side of the state. Any announcements, news? Fill us in on what's happening on the East Coast.
On the East Coast, honestly, to tell you the truth, we had a huge influx of new activism here with the river pollution. You heard about the spill, and you know what? I didn't prepare for that, but I'm looking it up right now. We had a huge spill out of it from the sugar growers and whatnot into our locks with the salt and fresh water exchange, and it all was going out also into the ocean. You heard about the, did you hear about that?
No, when did that happen?
A month ago. I'm looking it up right now, but you should have told me to look this stuff.
You know, I heard about the dolphin deaths and the issue. I think it was at the Indian River. I don't know if I have that. It might be Indian something river, but it's on the East Coast. And there was, instead of the green nitrogen type of algae bloom, it was like a brown, poopy-looking stuff. And it was killing off all the sea life. And I was supposed to have a story, someone calling in at one point to do just a specific story on that. And I don't know if she chickened out or what, but I never heard from her again. I haven't been able to get in touch with her. And I thought, wow, that was kind of maybe, I don't know if somebody threatened her or what happened, but she was all gung-ho to do the story.
There's a huge amount of activists up here from Vero Beach and above and down below through West Palm Beach who have been out there, you know. They had 3 weeks ago a huge weekend activist day turnout. It's been covered by the large media and the small media and the independent media. Rick Spezak has been keeping up with it over on Progressive News Network.
And he is doing, I want to announce to everybody that he is doing a show on Sunday. I believe it's from 7 to 9. I'll be on the show, I think, the last half hour of the show. And it's going to be all about green activism, not necessarily Green Party, but anybody who's working in any kind of environmental activism, he's going to make that show specific to it. So if you want to tune in, that network is, what is that network, Gwen? What is his network called?
It's called Progressive News Network. I'll be on there too as well. And it's on Blog Talk Radio. You can find it at New Mercury News, I believe is what it's listed on in, he's like you, he has a page away from Blog Talk Radio that leads people to Blog Talk Radio. It's kind of confusing. But if you just look for PNN, you'll find him.
He conducts a very good show, lots of meaty information. So I would say if anybody wants to know what's going on in politics throughout the state of Florida, that's always a good show to listen to on Sunday night. Go ahead.
It sure is. It's really good. He does do a news format. He schedules his show, whereas like with the Sunday show, my political show, it's more of a roundtable and an organic kind of flow. I like to bring guests on and have them tell their story and get a conversation going so that people hear, you know, whereas Rick does the same thing, But he has a scheduled format, and he has a lot of people scheduled perhaps on one show. He gets a lot of information in there for you. It's like listening to the good news.
The good news. The good / bad news, yeah. I really wanted to make this announcement at the top of the hour. Actually, I have two or three of them, but the big one, the news that I just got a couple of hours ago, is that the permit has been pre-approved to start the fracking, horizontal drilling, whatever you want to call it, in Naples, Florida. So this is extremely serious, and activists are going to have to unite around this, and people from all over the state are going to have to help the Naples area and vice versa, because this is going to be an onslaught that's going to continue, and they are going to try to do it in other locales. And I'm really, really afraid for the Green Swamp, which is, I don't know if there's any, you know, oil under the Green Swamp, but, you know, it's really untapped land, and if there's anything under there, they're going to eventually be coming to get it. So the Green Swamp is probably about 2 miles from here. So nobody's safe anywhere, and I think we as Floridians should be looking at these other states that have already been going through this, like New York, Pennsylvania, mountaintop removal in West Virginia, and all these other places that have been fracked, in addition to the Gulf oil spill. It's almost like we're being assaulted. We're being hunted.
Last weekend, on the Sunday show, I had Sister Marie Vissi from the Loreto Mother House, you know, the fracking nuns, on the show. And they're fighting the bluegrass pipeline up there, which is proposing to go from Pennsylvania through down into Louisiana, you know, probably right through the corn bayou. The corn, you know, black hole down there that keeps opening up. And all the way down to the ocean with natural gas that they frack for. And they're trying to pull eminent domain on nuns who aren't going to have any of it. And she's been like Julia Trigg Crawford, who was on the week before. The XL Pipeline, TransCanada pulled eminent domain on Julia and her family farm in Direct, Texas, and she's going to the state Supreme Court over it. And the fracking nuns are kicking up a huge amount of dust throughout the Northeast, protesting, actively protesting, the companies that are trying to put through this natural gas pipeline and fracking operation through her territory. They have been there, their community, the Loreto community, the nuns, the mother house, has been there since 1860-something.
Wow.
And they are really, really, Sister Marie actually said shit on air. I was like, whoa, you got some nuns pissed off, people. Like,
yeah, I know exactly who you're talking about, because I did see, it was kind of like a condensed story on YouTube. It might have been like a long-running YouTube video about the nuns and what they were doing and, you know, what protests they were going to, and they were quite driven. I mean, I was really amazed at their tenacity.
There's actually two groups of nuns. There's also the nuns from the Midwest, and I forget their names. But about a year ago, they rolled out, and they actually got on a bus and started going out through the country protesting. They were protesting the taxes in Wisconsin. You remember?
Nuns on the bus. That's what they were called. Nuns on the Bus. Yes, that's okay. Cool. Extremely cool.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, it's extremely cool that these nuns are doing this, because right now, the nuns in this country, all of the orders are under the Inquisition by the Vatican. Did you know that?
No, fill me in.
Now, this was posted in the New York Times about almost 2 years ago when the old boy who was new got in, you know, the number one, I'm just going to say it, number one pedophile protector there, Benedict.
Okay.
He got a nun who was a American transplant in Rome to come into his office, and he set her up to come over here because the bishops' councils here are receiving somewhat like the Nuns on the Bus and the Loreto community. The nuns here are saying, you know, F you to the bishops' councils and the patriarchy, and doing just as they see fit. And you know, the majority of nuns nowadays in this country are huge in the academic community. They're published, they're most of them are well-known academics and authorities in some form of science or psychology or medicine, and they do not heal for the bishops' councils. Well, the bishop, and they are for things like putting, you know, having gay people, allowing gay people to be part of the church. What would you say that about that? How would you pronounce that? You would say that they would be example, or I forget the word, but anyways, they are supporting gay people. They're also supporting a form of you know, Planned Parenthooding, which is a real no-no. So the Bishops' Council, plus spending the money of the church in places like clinics and neighborhoods that need it in D.C. and New York and New Orleans and such. And so the Bishops' Council, like good Republicans, want their money. They've had to pay way too much out. The coffers in this country and in European communities are way down from the pedophilia and the payouts and everything. So the Bishop's Council said, you know, the nuns have gone berserk over here. You have to do something.
The nuns have gone berserk. That sounds funny.
The nun
that I heard, well, it wasn't recent, but, you know, it was back several months ago. Sister Helen Prejean was on Democracy Now! And, of course, you know, her story was you know, aired in the movie Dead Man Walking. So she was the nun that was really protesting capital punishment. And and so Amy Goodman had her on for, you know, I think most or almost all of the show, and the show was about capital punishment. And Sister Helen Prejean, she, let me tell you, she said some very profound things during that interview. I can't remember anything specifically, but anybody can go back to Democracy Now! and do a search for that show and listen. And she had me in tears. I really was quite taken by some of the wonderfully spiritual things, you know, she happened to say, because they were spiritual things that transcended whatever religion you happen to be. They were just spiritual truths.
Well, the nuns are really strutting out. Now, Sister Margaret, who was sent over from the Vatican, has every house. She has quite an authority. She's working out in New York City. She has several different helpers. I mean, she's got like a whole cadre of people, because she's got every order in this country under the Inquisition. Never been done before. And it's incredible that it hasn't made more news. And over on the other side, in Tuscany, Italy, there is a nun who had, no, I'm sorry, not Tuscany. She's in Spain. She's in the mountains of Spain. And I, sister, oh, God, is it Antonia? They have this nun who has become extraordinarily popular throughout most of the Western European countries. She's on a lot of television shows and talk shows. She's considered a liberal and an activist. So you've got a lot of women in the church itself right now who are standing up and saying enough of this crap with the boys' club.
Yeah,
the old boys club.
It's time for women to stand up and take charge.
Well, you know? What they're saying is that what the men have done is put the very essence of spirituality in jeopardy by their behavior and their greed.
Right. And I guess, you know, when we're looking at it this way, it really doesn't matter what religion you are. It doesn't matter if you're religious or not. It's kind of this whole patriarchy / domination thing that happens everywhere, you know?
Yeah. And, well, the fact that it's spoken as a religion instead of an expression of spirit, it says it all from my point of view.
True. What did you think today about the Senate voting on Obamacare? Did you happen to see that brouhaha on television?
I did not. I knew that there was that the GOP was once again bringing it up for a vote to stop Obamacare, but that they failed, didn't they?
Oh no, they won.
In the House, but they'll fail in the Senate, the president will veto.
Yeah, I mean, this is just, you know, if we had had single-payer universal not-for-profit health care, this wouldn't even be an issue.
I agree.
I mean, that's what we've got to have, but, you know, it's not going to happen. I hate to say it. It's not going to happen without some kind of, you know, revolution, because we've got the corporations that are over us in the way of big pharma and big money and big insurance and big everything. And anybody that wants single payer universal not for profit health care is not going to be elected. It's that simple. So it's not, I don't know when it'll ever happen, but it's not even realistic to even think about at this point. Very sad.
Well, I think that President Obama is kind of losing his grip on things right now. He's going out with the count. Just that he would say something as scattered as they're trying to mess with me, which is true, but it's still not the most excellent way he could have said that. I think he would have thought differently of how he put those words once upon a time. The fact that I'm hearing people who still defend him about things like, you know, oh, well, he played, you know, 11th dimensional chess with Putin and actually won. If I hear that one more time, I'm going to puke, I swear.
I heard that too, and I kind of laughed over that, but I thought, you know, I'm starting to look at something in a little different way in regards to politics, and I'm not sure where this is taking me, but I'm looking at what Iceland did for their people. Well, actually, their people did it for their people. And they issued in, first of all, they kicked their whole government out. They could do that. They're a small country.
Right.
They started becoming an issues-based government. So when anything's voted on, it's issues-based, not dependent upon what political party one is from. So it's a real expression of the what is called now the direct democracy movement. And I really believe there's a movement afoot. More and more people are talking about this. It's kind of trending in conversations, but private conversations, when you're talking one-on-one with people, more and more people are exploring it because we already know that our elections are a sham, and we already know that a representative government no longer represents us, the 99%.
And so what's the solution to that? Do you think that the solution is voting?
I don't think there's any solution in voting.
Yeah.
I don't think voting on anything in the state of government that we're in right now is going to help us at all.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
And our elected representatives, whether they're on either side of the aisle or green or purple polka dotted or whatever they happen to be. In other words, we could even get Jill Stein in there as a president. So many people voted for Jill Stein that had never heard of the Green Party before, but she really had a great message that really resonated with so many people. And we could get her in there. So maybe in another 4 or 5 election cycles, it would really take a lot to get her there. But we could. But even if we did, we still have Congress, and there are
it's
no.
A machine.
Pardon?
There is a machine in place. There's a
yes.
machine in place, and until that machine is broken,
yeah,
there's no fixing it. So
it's like the Mario Savio quote, you know? I mean, he said you have to stop the machine. You have to stop it from running, stop it from working. I really need to look that up and play that because that is one of my favorite quotes. The guy was so marvelous in expressing that. Let me see if I can find that real quick. But the machine.
The machine. It's not going to unless it's until it's broken. It's not going
yeah.
to stop. And the only thing that seems like it's going to break it is, you know, the crash of an economy on a global scale, or the shutdown of an atmosphere, or something very radical like that. How
right.
about atom bombs? You know, that's
right.
how you break the machine. It's a very sad thing to say. But there are catalysts that happen every day. Things can change on a dime. This is a, you know, a very extraordinary world. Common sense tells me what I just said, that you have to, until the machine is broken, you know. Still, you never know what's going to happen. But it's pretty sad.
Let me play this real quick. If I can get this audio to play, give me just a second.
So here we are. 4 students are getting the axe. 6 organizations are getting the axe for standing up this semester and for fighting for these things. They're getting the axe not for what they did, but for what we have done. They spoke for us. They were part of us. They have been singled out, and they're going to be chopped off. We were told the following. If President Kerr actually tried to get something more liberal out of the region in his telephone conversations, why didn't he make some public statement to that effect? And the answer we received from a well-meaning liberal was the following. He said, would you ever imagine the manager of a firm making a statement publicly in opposition to his board of directors? That's the answer. I ask you to consider. If this is a firm, and if the Board of Regents are the Board of Directors, and if President Kerr, in fact, is the manager...
I don't know if that's it or not, but he's... This took place on a college campus in 1964, and I think it's the last few... Here it is.
...materials that don't mean to be we have any process upon us. Don't mean to be made into any product. Don't mean to end up being bought by some clients of the university, be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, or human beings. There's a time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Hey. So that it was Mario Savio, who went down in history with making that quote of stopping the machine from working, just as we've been talking about, because, you know, there's a time when it becomes so odious, as he says. You have to stop the machine from working. And I really think that, you know, Occupy in our generation really was the beginning of that. What do you think about that?
Well, a lot of people want to knock Occupy now for not doing the job and not having the right intentions or ideas. I think they had exactly the right intentions, the right ideals, a groupthink and not a leadership or ego-driven one. They introduced a new way to make choices and to govern, really, with the group, the groupthink, back to a real kind of democracy. And it was a wonderful example, but people just didn't get it. A lot of people who are involved in the activism and activist community gave it a hard time because it lacked a single leadership or even a, you know, group of three leadership type of thing. They just weren't getting it. Many people did. It made a wonderful wallop. I'm one of the people who thinks it was a huge success. I think that Chris Hedges said it the other day on the 17th in New York best when he said, you know, well, Occupy was the beginning, and we have to push on and learn from what didn't work and follow through with what will work and to keep the faith and keep pressing. And he's quite right about that. If we bring up people's awareness, you know, the one way that we could break the machine is by informing the people. If the people understood what was really going on, you know, the information, the real news, what the truth is out there, I think that the voting would go a different direction. All too often people will say, yeah, I understand that, but look at my choice. Well, there's also this. There are people who would be not so intimidated by running for office if they realized that people understood that they had something better than the guy who was being backed with all the glossy commercials, you know. If we got back to a system of, you know, look at all of us on the internet. We're town criers. What is wrong with having candidates out there that jump up on the back of pickup trucks and begin to talk with a hailer, you know? There's nothing wrong with that. There's everything right with it. And when people begin to digest more honest information, and the more people, the funny thing is that to drive corporate business, the machine itself wants everybody to have access in their home to the internet. And the internet is that one global consciousness through social media where people are learning what the truth actually is. So, you know, there's kind of a wonderful thing going on there.
And I also still, I've said this for a long time and I'm still saying it, I think the powers that be underestimated the power of the internet, the fact that it would become such an open source for so much information. and that people would use it in good ways in that respect. Joanne is in the chat room, and she's been carrying on a conversation with me, and I'm going to go ahead and read what she's posted and how I've answered, and then we can go on from there. She says, when we were talking about Dr. Jill Stein, she said, if you don't have a green base, it doesn't matter if people vote for Jill Stein. Until you have a base of Green Party members in key positions, the Green Party will not have a base from which to rule the country. And then I stated, but Congress is a machine that we cannot get rid of, even with our current laws, and they are the biggest problem. And she says, we have to build a base from mosquito control to county offices, then build to Congress and Senate. And then she does say the same thing you said. Occupy got a bad rap. Press says that Occupy failed, but that's not true. Occupy is the base. We have to build on that base. Wow. Of course. Of course we do. Those are Occupy really came together from people that were totally disillusioned with the school loans that they were paying out, that basically had boot to throat and ball and chain on their ankle and boot to throat for the rest of their lives, $100,000 for a degree. And then by the time people pay interest and everything, that's probably maybe tripled. So we're talking about people who are forever in debt, and we already know there's not a lot of jobs for people to even pay back that debt. And then the other big group of people that got started in Occupy, I mean, it didn't consist of just these two groups, but these two groups I think were the biggest, were the people that were going through the home foreclosures. So those were two very pronounced groups of people that were involved in Occupy, and that is a huge... As Joanne says, that's a huge base of people in this country, a huge base. So she's right. Those are the ones we have to reach out to. And, you know, with direct democracy, with new ideas and ways of doing things, because we already know the shit we're doing now ain't working. We've got to try something different. So,
no,
what's your thoughts on all that?
I think people need to know the truth, Anita. I think that each of us who comes on the net with information that says you're being blindsided by the mainstream media, what you've grown to trust is not trustable. That it's a bottom line of profiteering.
Right.
And that the jobs are not coming back. That's
the truth. I don't think so either.
And that we have to fend for ourselves with local sustainability and trade globally through this beautiful internet. But to become locally sustainable and work on our own local governments, that's when people are going to, when change is going to come. I think that focusing on the national, I'm against nationalism anymore. I think borders and boundaries are nothing but convenient excuses to wage war and make profits.
Yep, I agree.
I think once upon a time people, you know, and there's every reason to believe that it's, you know, it's wrong of this madman in Syria to bomb his people with chemicals, whether he did it or whether the Saudis provided it for the rebels who did it. Nobody knows the truth there yet.
Right.
And we're supposed to go looking for more weapons of mass destruction. I mean, come on. How stupid are Americans? Really? How you can't breed stupid out of the people, I guess. I mean, weapons of mass destruction. And the majority of this country, I think, really did not want war, and they made that very plain to the presidency. But still, to have someone like Obama throw that out there, and I don't for a minute think it was a tactic. I think that it mattered. I think he'll be remembered for it. I think that the panic he caused in Syria to people who are still fleeing because they think he's going to drop bombs on them,
yeah,
is unconscionable. It's unconscionable. And for people in this country, and I have a couple of friends who are saying, oh, he played, you know, 11th dimensional chess and he won type of thing, I think that's shameful. We've lost our humanity, and we should be focusing on gathering that back. And I think the best way to do it is at the local level.
I'm involved with an organization called Transition that came to being in Europe, in England and Ireland specifically, based on a book called Transition Town by Rod Hopkins. And I encourage everybody to read it, because what it's about is taking your community and everybody working together to basically transition off of the dependence on fossil fuels. And it's an amazing thing. We have a steering group. We've actually been in existence for about 2 years. I haven't been able to work with them lately simply because of the hours of my job, but, you know, they've got some young people involved now, which is really good. So the next thing are events and, you know, creative intelligence type events where people get together and talk. And,
the skeleton is already there with all of the environmentalists and the earth firsters, who are there to begin local sustainability.
Right. Deep Green Resistance is another group. There's so many. You know, it's just a situation. The transition is kind of more on the practical end. You know, let's all get together and everybody's got a skill. Let's use everybody's skill and get people doing what they like doing to help their community. Some committees will work on the garden, other committees will work on milking the cows, other committees will get elderly people to the doctors, you know, when they don't have gas for their car. So, you know, everybody's working together, and that's the whole key of transition. So, and Cindy Sheehan had something very similar called creating communities. So she was working on that for a while, but now, of course, we know she's running for governor of California, so that's a really very cool thing.
You know, metropolitan areas have to be spearheaded with these kinds of local sustainability ideas. And while some of the greatest leadership that we have is in those communities. How do you think OWLS got started? Actually, it got started in British Columbia with a group of people called Anon, you know, Anonymous, and Adbusters, putting out ideas to people who were already there in a collective of a bunch of geeks. And it was computer geeks started out, man. And these are the same folks that have to, you know, they're working. This is one of the reasons that Occupy is so focused on foreclosures and holding workshops and reclaiming property. Because, you know, I don't know if you've seen these beautiful reclaimed buildings in Europe where they've made, you know, out of like, the structure is still sound, and yet they were going to, you know, it's been abandoned like a parking garage that's many levels, and they take them and they make them into farming communities in the city. There's so many ways that until people make it vogue, people make it an avant-garde thing to do, you know, which is like really just saying, you know, let's look at the things that are going to save us from, you know, starvation and, you know, a lack of oxygen, and just start cleaning the earth up by healing. And these big communities have excellent opportunities. These big metropolitan areas have excellent opportunities to spearhead things like this. And you can see it in the green architecture digests that are out there. All of these wonderful reclaiming, you know, all kinds of recycling to create housing. I mean, we know how to do it. We have the tools. We do. It's right. Just getting the folks focused and planting the seeds. And the seeds come from conversation and the dissemination of information, you know, is all I can think.
Joanne made a comment in the chat room, another one on the numbers on jobs, and this was interesting. The recent numbers on jobs show that women have regained more jobs than men, but the jobs that women have regained are low-paying jobs without health benefits. So the numbers on job gains are misleading. And then I mentioned skewed, definitely,
yeah.
and so are the unemployment numbers. Because the unemployment numbers are only scaled and based on the number of the people that are unemployed, and so many other people are not eligible for unemployment, so they don't even get counted in. So I really think our unemployment is more like 20 to 25%, maybe at the least 18, but at the most 5. So
the jobs are not coming back. They're not coming back. The profiteering corporations of America have sold those jobs away to other countries.
Right.
They're not coming back here. The thing is, we have to refocus ourselves instead of being, you know, interested. And this is going to sound like it's impossible. There's too many people. And I know how impossible it sounds, but really, people are going to have to take a responsibility for themselves that they've never really thought about, and that is to create their own income, their own work, their own trade, or to find jobs that they can work at that they, you know, because, you know, talking about women getting more jobs, but they're lower paying and everything, how do you maintain your property that way? How do people that, you know, more homeless, you see where I'm going here, don't you?
Right.
People,
I mean, with
people,
me,
you're going
to
have
pulling,
to see.
Yeah, they were pulling so much crap with the agencies. They were sending me out licensed as a CNA. You know, I should be getting $12 to $13 an hour. And they're sending me out to see patients doing the same exact work. But even though they would claim it was non-medical, it certainly was medical, and then pay me $8 or $9 an hour through the agency. So now, you know, I have some work, but, you know, I have no desire to work through an agency again. But in so doing, I have nothing that's going into Social Security. I have no benefits. I'm grateful, you know, for the work I have.
And Anita,
you know,
they're taking all of that away from people more and more and more. In large
right.
cities, there's corporations that are still hiring some people. They're still giving some benefits. Gosh knows there's still money out there. But it's at such a reduced volume that volume is not going to show up for a few years, and yet it is showing up on all of the other sides of the street where people are trying to get, say, food stamps, welfare, help with their you know, foreclosure help. All of these things are on a huge rise, and people who really shouldn't be worrying about things are worried terribly, and with that kind of pressure on them, They're listening with hopeful ears to anything the mainstream media can tell them that makes them think that things are changing for the better.
Do you think that probably one of the big problems that we have is that not enough people are really at rock bottom, or maybe it hasn't affected them personally yet. And I feel that's true, that the minute it affects somebody personally, then they're going to be all over it like white on rice. And, you know,
no,
but
I don't think that way. I think that the major problem is that people are just unaware. They don't know. If they've held on to their job, but they're noticing things. Like I have a good friend who has her own business, and she helps her husband with his own business. And they make, you know, a six-figure salary they were used to for years, and now they're struggling to keep, you know, their credit's gone to hell because they got behind with no work, cancellations from corporations for her with her job, and, you know, filling in between. I mean, and there are many. She is like a ground zero of many people out there who have money, who are struggling to keep money, who represent what they call the middle class or upper middle class. And all of this right now is built on Tinder, on matchsticks in this country. But I do not think that people have to be ruined in order to wake up and understand that things are really bad for their neighbors and their communities. I think folks really are, Anita, much more community-minded than we give ourselves socialistically credit for. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I think that if we get people informed and they understand that, you know, every time a president comes up to a podium in camera, he's getting ready to manipulate you. When we get that across, you know, when we get an understanding of just how badly screwed people are by leadership, which is wholly owned by a very few that are making a lot of money and destroying the planet, you know, and I sound like a broken record, like all of us do. And to some, even in my own family, I sound like I've gone conspiracy nut radical. And it's like, yeah. When conspiracy theories began to be more true than the news, I had to sit down and with the breath pushed out of me, I'll tell you.
Yeah, and that's happened lately, hasn't it?
Well, I'm big on due diligence. I was journalistically trained, and I got to tell you, I see my old editor, for Christ's sake, still buying the same old crap, and I'm like, holy crap. No, it's bad out there, but it's getting brighter. It's getting a whole lot brighter. You know, papers like the Rolling Stone and in Boston, the Boston Phoenix, every city has a paper, or used to, that was that radical newspaper, and they had more of the truth going on, you know? I think we, since the internet came along, now it's things like, you know, look at, do you listen to Lee Camp's Moment of Clarity?
No, I've never heard that. Tell me more about that.
Oh, my God, I've had him on the show. I post his stuff. You should be paying attention to my media. Lee.
Thomas, from now on, I'm going to.
Hang on, I'm going to play one right now. I'm online with this. I'm going to play one for you right now so you get what's going on. Because these are worth, you're going to be knocked out. Lee, and you should call him to basically be on the show. Hang on, I'm playing it now, okay? It's in a video.
Okay.
I'm here at the 2-year anniversary of Occupy, and this is your moment of clarity. On this anniversary, we have to ask ourselves whether the issues that created Occupy have been addressed. According to David DeGraw, U.S. millionaire households now have $50 trillion in combined assets. How much is $50 trillion? Well, it would take only $50 billion to end world hunger and provide clean water to everyone on the planet. $50 billion. That's about the amount of money the Koch brothers themselves have. So maybe that's why they're collecting all that money. Maybe they're going to end world hunger, and they just wanted to make sure they had enough to do it before they started. Maybe we've had them wrong all along. Or maybe they'd sooner eat their own livers before giving so much as a crouton to a crippled, homeless, pregnant veteran. Maybe that. We're in a time of what many are calling neo-feudalism, one created out of debt slavery. Essentially, most of America is indentured servants to the bankers and the rest of the plutocracy. And by the way, plutocracy is ruled by the wealthy, not ruled by Mickey Mouse's dog like I used to think. And then, of course, there's blutocracy, which is ruled by Popeye's swarthy nemesis. Why the fuck did a mouse own a dog? And why isn't Pluto anthropomorphic when Goofy is? And how dare they call him Goofy when he's a fucking dog that can talk? Seems he's leaps and bounds more intelligent than Pluto, and he's the one who's Goofy? If I were Goofy, I would say, fuck you, Pluto. I'm going to call you Goofy, all right? Because I can talk. What now? That's some edgy, groundbreaking comedy right there. I'm taking apart Mickey Mouse. 90 years after he was created. The truth is, the source of the anger that created Occupy, that initially yanked all of us out of our homes and into the streets willing to take a face full of pepper spray, has only gotten worse. As author David DeGraw noted, we have an all-time record number of people living in poverty, a record number of people on food stamps, an all-time record number of children going to bed hungry, record number of people bankrupted by medical bills, record student debt, record number of families foreclosed upon, and a record number of people in prison. Somebody call up the Guinness Book of World Records, people! Because we are setting some goddamn records. We should be in there right next to the woman with the fingernails that go down to the floor and that guy with this pet scorpion that lives in his belly button.
So you get where Lee comes from, right?
Yeah, he does. He does quite a lot of satire, but definitely truism.
He and Dennis Traynor's acronym television coupled with popularresistance.org with Kevin Zeitz and Dr. Margaret Flowers, all of these people, I mean, you know, we're putting them up over there at the Commons Project Network and keeping a flow going. It's about information, and these people are at least some cutting edge shit, man. He is good stuff, man. You got to roll anything, roll Lee, smoke him because he's good stuff.
Well, I'm going to listen to more of him. Of course, I've been following Dennis since Dennis and I were some of the first social media people on the bus back in 2008. And of course, he does some great work. So I've been, you know, watching him for a long, long time. And that was back, we were all working for Dennis Kucinich, and he was known as Davis Fleetwood back then. So that was his YouTube persona.
Joe McAvoy with Worldwide Hippies and his Winston Smith videos. And there's all kinds of resources out there, but on top of the social media within the Twitter range and all of that, these are some of the top marks. And the information coming out of these people, it's like keeping your eye on whatever Matt Taibbi's writing, you know? He has this inner
guide. Yeah. Because he does most of his stuff in the Stone, am I right?
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
But he also makes his own videos sometimes, too.
Yeah. Well, I do want to let people know that if you want to see any of these people that Gwen is noting here, The Common Projects Network is where to go. Now, there is a website. What's the URL for that?
It's thecommonsprojectnetwork.com. And Wise Woman Media is posted there, too.
Great. The Commons Project has everybody that she just listed and more. It connects you to their social media. It connects you to wherever you can hear them. And it's certainly a way of getting the real news, not the made-up news, which is, you know, we're getting down to an hour, Gwen. Do you want to keep going for a few more minutes, or you want to close?
I have to toddle off. I'm sorry about that. I did want to do one thing. I wanted to put in a plug for daughtersofisis.com, the fragrant memories of our ancestors. Send folks over to see me. I can use the business. It's coming up on holidays.
And what's your website, Gwen?
It's daughtersofisis.com.
And she is, her work at daughtersofisis.com is one of our sponsors. You can see us at wisewomenmedia.blogspot.com. Daughters of Isis is there listed under the sponsors. You can see the rest of them there. And the common, well, the Roundtree 7, the Hoodoo Blog, Tarot Stars, Power New Media and Public Relations, Here Be Monsters, which gives us our little hour and a half every week so we can do this show. So we'll go ahead and wrap it up. I was going to play a song by Grace Potter, Nothing But the Water. This is the very short, unplugged version. But definitely come back next week, 10 o'clock Friday. That's p.m. on Eastern Standard Time, and we'll be doing another broadcast. And thank you for listening. And, Gwen, thank you so much for being on the show.
It was a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Okay, we're going to tune in Nothing But the Water, and I thought that was appropriate for the fracking going that's going to be going on here in Florida, but Nothing But the Water by Grace Potter and the Nocturnals. Good night, everybody. We'll see you next week.
But with the water, we'll start anew. We want to take man down to the levee. Take man down to the sea. Take man down to the water. We're gonna wash out the old queen. Take man down to the river. Take man down. Gonna do it for the good Lord's sake. I have fallen so many times for the devil's sweet cunning wrath. This old world has brought me pain, but there's hope. I'm gonna breathe.